Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Down and down and down it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. I'm not talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because that's actually up a little bit today. And what I'm talking about is the state of the economy in general, 30 million plus unemployed, the Fed printing money like there's no tomorrow, like literally there's no tomorrow. There's nobody else that's going to have to actually absorb all this nightmare. And then propping up big business. And then what about all these loans? What about all this help? You know, the government with Donald Trump there at the top, and the Fed and the Congress, both the House and the Senate, putting on their Superman capes, and they're sweeping in to help all the little guys and all you small business owners, except the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of the money is going to really big corporations, not little guys, not sole proprietors, not the small people that are struggling to make ends meet on a weekly basis, literally. And so I don't mean to sound like that sounds like a Democrat talking point, a Democrat mantra, all these big businesses and da 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 da. But in this case, that's actually what's going on. A lot of troubling things going on in the economy. Yesterday, we were on location, so we weren't able to do a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. So we switched it to today. So we're out with live today with David Fisher. I'm back in the studio here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. David, of course, is over in Phoenix. And David, good to hear from you. How are you? Good to see you. And welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be on your show. I got some startling news again. Not a week goes by. It seems like we have more information that I can't believe this is real news. But yeah, we're going to talk about that today on your show.
Yeah, as tempting as it would be to be saying fake news, fake news, fake news, this is actually not fake news. This is and a lot of alarming things. And then there's always the disconnect between kind of what we're experiencing in these numbers that we're going to talk about today versus what's happening with the market. So it's just a strange back and forth between these things. And so we've got a lot to talk about. But on the market, on the issue of the market, let's just kind of start there. Where are we at year to date? What's the market done? Obviously, we go all the way back to the beginning of the year. If you're looking at year to dates, it was, I'm looking at a chart January 2nd at 28,868. Today finishing at 23,883. So, obviously an enormous difference there, 5,000 to 6,000 points. And was as low as, got down as low as 18,591 points. That was on March 23rd. So what are we looking at just kind of this year to date in the markets?
So the Dow's down 14%, even with the so far recovery. But it's not broad-based in all the stocks. There's just a small amount of stocks that are making these big moves. A lot of FANG stocks, tech stocks, Steve, few of the cruise stocks, some financials, but it's not really broad-based. The S&P is off 11%, 10.9. Gold is leading the charge, 11.7%, and you're going to learn why that is, because it's the environment we're in. But a lot of people are saying we should have bought when this thing was low. This is May, the old adage, sell in May, go away. So historically, the May month, and it showed up last week and a few days yesterday, that the market was off just in 2 days, 1,130 points, the Dow down 4.6%. It's recovering, but this is the yo-yo. Buffett came out and said that in his annual meeting over the weekend, quote, "We didn't see anything attractive to buy," end quote.
Golly, that's quite a statement from Warren Buffett.
Yeah, he's the guy that bought a ton of stock in 2008 when the market crashed. He was criticized in January for not buying really much in the market and having so much cash on hand. Well, he made out like a bandit, as they say. He didn't take the downturn, and he's not playing the upturn, which tells us he must believe that something's going to retest the lows. Jeffrey Gundlach said it's going to retest the lows, the largest hedge fund manager. He put a legal bet on it even, Steve. But Buffett said, if you're going to buy stock right now, buy for a long, long long period of time and don't look at it. So that tells us he believes the market's going to retest lows. And it usually does. corrections or bear markets last for 4 to 9 months, and they test the lows. We've not tested the low yet. Right, A bear market has tested the low, and some are in the camp that's saying it won't. They also said we would never go down, but I think we're going to test the lows.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you look at what the stock market has done. One would think when we added 30 million people to the unemployment rolls in the last 5 weeks that that would cause the stock market just to go into the tank, yet it kind of found its bottom several weeks ago, and then it's been coming up, kind of off and on, but generally trending up. And so, again, I sometimes I'm always scratching my head, David, going, where's the disconnect here?
Well, there's a disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. Wall Street is once again living their own dream come true. And I'm not against Wall Street, but the disconnect was huge in 2008. The disconnect is already bigger now than it was in 2008. The economy was moving one direction, yet the market was going up. And the market is going up without showing some signs of testing. But the big money is saying it's going to test the low again. It's going to go back down. But the unemployment at 30.3 million people, you know, that's like the depression.
Yeah,
and that says a whole nother thing. You know, $1,200 was not enough money for, you know, people to make all their bills in 1 month. And we've gone, you know, 7 weeks now, and they're looking for some more help. And, you know, the ironic thing about the PPP, the Payment Protection Program, that was the first round. J.P. Morgan only gave out 6% of that money to small businesses, less than 100 people. So the money's not going where it was supposed to go. It's going to big corporations again. You know, we were talking about this, you and I, ahead of time, about an hour ago, a little bit, just for 5 minutes. And you mentioned some, you know, big companies, you know, getting money from the PPP and giving it back. And
yeah, you know, there was like a Shake Shack was a perfect example. They got $10 million, and you go, wow, that's a lot. There's a lot of Shake Shacks around the country, but they turned around and were able to raise like $120 million in private capital, and they turned around and said, hey, by the way, we don't need the $10 million after all. And there's a whole lot of big companies that have the ability to do that. I don't know where the means testing was here, or if it's kind of that the liberal mantra that, hey, the Republicans only care about big business and Wall Street and blah, blah, blah. And you look at this kind of stuff and you go, okay, why in the world are we giving money to giant corporations that can raise it on their own or have the ability to weather the storm for a little while versus the little guys that can't? And so, again, we've got this, and we're going to keep touching on that. We've got this huge disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street, and the government acting like they're helping everybody. That's our new savior. Who needs God when you have government? But the little guys largely are not getting the help that they need more than the big corporations. And so we're just going to pick it up there. There's lots to talk about the Fed printing money like crazy. We're here with David Fisher. We'll be right back. Is this really the rich get richer? What am I, Bernie Sanders? What I'm talking to stuff like that, going, okay, hey, all the big corporations are getting taken care of. They're fine. The little guys, not so much when the federal government sweeps in, because in this country anymore, even though we're still about 70% of America will self-describe as Christian, when you scratch the surface of that, it doesn't. That means they believe there is a God rather than no God. Jesus sounds like a pretty good thing, and church is a good thing, especially at Christmas and Easter. But people, to think that we have a nation even predominantly full of born-again Christians is utterly ridiculous. And so as I talk about these things, we have to remember that we just aren't operating from a very effective worldview as a nation and for most people as individuals. And when we kind of get God, the actual God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we get that out of the nation and we don't kind of lean on that. What's to take its place? And it's generally the government. Where do you look? Where does my help come from? My help comes from not the Lord. It's from government. And so we look to the government. Oh, the government's going to sweep in. And we've got all these small businesses that are shuttered and all these businesses that are going to die and people that are going to go broke and employees that can't get paid because the business is shut down. And the government says, oh, well, we're going to pump, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. We're going to help. We're going to help these businesses stay afloat, yet the overwhelming majority of the money is going to big corporations, big business, rather than the little guy, and that's just wrong. We talked about this. We're talking to David Fisher today. We're doing a full Money Monday on a Tuesday just because we did a remote yesterday, so we had to push it till today, first Monday of the month. We always do a full show with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, by the way, is their website, so you can begin to get yourself educated on what role does precious metals play in a healthy portfolio, which is very challenging these days, obviously. But it's really upsetting, David, that we see the government. You said this a minute ago, 2008, or kind of like 2008 again. And what did you say? Like six big banks got all the money in 2008. And here we are saying, hey, we're going to look out for the little guy. And Donald Trump, a Republican, saying that. We're like, yeah, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. Yet the vast majority of the money not going to the little guy. It still goes to the big guy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm a Republican at heart. My dad served with Reagan, so there's nothing socialism in me. I'm conservative, but you know, we're going to call a spade. It doesn't matter what if they're blue or red. It's the action behind it, not how it was set up. Maybe it was not maybe right. But in 2008, six big banks got the money for the attention, the purpose to lend it out to small businesses. Did they do that? Absolutely not. That's why it took so long to recover. This is same playbook, different era with a different twist in it, but the score is still the same. Big money is getting the money. 6% of the loans went to sole proprietorships, which is, you know, the consumer is the one that represents 70% of the economy, and the consumer is the one that sets up a, you know, sole proprietorship. But the big companies, the corporations, you know, they are getting all the money, and these are the same companies that bought stock and, you know, did buyback, corporate stock bond buyback, and raised debt to do that. They couldn't make their debt payment. Now they're getting bailed out through the federal government, through the PPP program. At least that's what the first round is. We'll find out what the second round is. So, you know, this is all happening while consumer spending now is collapsing, the worst annual drop in the peak of the Lehman crisis, Steve, and unemployment is the worst since 1929. And at the same time, the U.S. Treasury announced that they're going to create $4 trillion of debt, $4 trillion more treasuries this year. It's a 300% increase, and this is the stimulus that they're doing. I get why they're doing it, but the numbers are so unfathomable, and it's not going to the right areas, that we're playing the same playbook over and over, but this time we're on the edge of the cliff because the debt structure is just ballooned. I mean, there's been $5 trillion since September that's added to the financial system, $2.2 trillion was from the national debt. The national debt grew $2.2 trillion since September of last year.
Insane.
And the Fed created $2.8 trillion in quantitative easing since last year. And they don't, you know, most of this has been happening the last 6 weeks. So, and they're not stopping. It's hit fifth gear, pedal to the metal. So we've never have we ever seen such a thing as this. And, you know, there is going to be definitely ramifications for it. We can't just print our money and create money out of thin air and spend money like crazy and say we don't have to pay it back and we don't have to manage it.
Well, we're all, you know, everybody lives in the here and the now, and not just like most American families aren't ready for a $1,000 car repair. Everybody's living on the edge of the cliff. And so when we wag our fingers at the federal government for this, their mismanagement of funds and for debt and for the deficit, generally, you know, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself because the whole country's kind of built this way. And as we look around the world, unfortunately, we see this around the world. You just go look at the debt clock. Just literally just go look at it. I look at it pretty often, usdebtclock.org, and you can switch to a world debt clock and you see red everywhere. And just earlier this year in the second semester of me teaching in my civics classes, I was showing them the U.S. national debt. You know, we were coming up on $23.5 trillion. I'm looking at it right now. It's $24.948 trillion. We'll cross into $25 trillion pretty soon, and it's going to push towards you know, the high 20s by the end of the year. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happening and unfathomable. Now, we have seen things like this with recessions and depressions in the past, right? Well, this is just to a whole new level.
This is a whole new level, but if you look at, there's like five different eras where we've seen something similar. Obviously, the Great Depression in 1929, the government debt wasn't high and unmanageable then, but the dollar was backed by gold. But the Fed created massive amounts of dollars in 1934, and within the year, the purchasing power of the dollar fell by 70%. So, you know, that was that era. Then the next one was World War II in 1942. The United States declared war. The government that time did go into massive amount of debt. In fact, the highest in our history, not dollar-wise on the national debt, but percentage of the GDP. But the Fed reneged on their responsibility for monetary policy. They totally adulterated their guidelines. And they capped long-term bonds at 2.5%. The balance sheet of the Fed increased dramatically. And a decade later, the dollar lost 28% purchasing power due to devaluation. And in the 70s was the big inflationary time. That was 78% the dollar lost in its purchasing power. And gold was able to be bought then. It rose 959%. So that was 24 times more upward than the dollar was doing. And the Dow only rose 9% in that decade. So people say, I think a good place to hedge is in stocks, not historically speaking. Of course, the recession of 2008, $3.5 trillion was created in 3 years. We're doing all that in 6 weeks and more. Yeah, now,
that's crazy.
$5 trillion of that grew from the 2008 to 11, but gold was the best hedge then, rose 172% in 3 years. During the same period of time, stocks only went up 41%. So if we look at today, you know, gold is already moving up 11%. The Dow is down 11%, about the same as much gold is going up. And we're in the early stages of this. So, you know, we should get hedged in gold. Gold is every single time when it was allowed to be bought was a hedge against all this insane.
Yeah, insane is the word. That's exactly right. Coming up on a break, David, we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And just think of that teeter-totter. If you're on one end and nobody's on the other end, if you're not balanced and somebody jumps off, you're going down, which is exactly what happens. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10%'s enough,
it's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're doing a full Money Monday today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website, LandmarkGold.com. And we're doing it on a Tuesday just because I was on location yesterday. So we pushed it to today, doing a full day. And this is so important because we were talking about kind of the small businesses that make up the vast majority of what's going on here. Listen to this. Firms with fewer than 100 workers accounted for 98%. Of all the companies in America, okay, fewer than 100 workers accounted for 98%. However, 94% of the money that the government's giving out to help businesses because of the coronavirus shutdown, 94% of that is going to firms with over 100 people. So this is completely lopsided. It's completely unfair. Why this is happening, I don't know. We'll see, because it's an election year. So, of course, members of Congress, especially the liberals and the Democrats, hey, I don't have a problem if they start asking that question. Hey, why are all the big businesses getting so much of this money? As a matter of fact, 94% to businesses with over 100 people, whereas the vast overwhelming majority of businesses in America are less than 100 people. So this is just, I mean, it's disgusting. It's immoral. And should, quite frankly, be criminal. I have no idea why this is happening, why this continues to happen. But like you said in 2008, David, six big banks pretty much got all the money. And here we are again. And you just mentioned something during the break. So our friends on Facebook Live hear what's going on during the break. If you're on the radio, you can join us on the Facebook page, just the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. It's rare that I kind of stumble on my words because I speak for a living. But when I see this kind of stuff, I'm sitting there going, this is just terrible. It's disgusting. It's immoral. Like I said, it's immoral. It should be criminal. And I don't know what drives that, but that's exactly what's happening.
Well, not to throw another log on the fire, but here's a big one. Remember we talked about 2 weeks ago on your program, Steve, that I made the announcement that the Federal Reserve is buying corporate bonds? Remember that?
Yep. Yeah, I do remember that.
So on March 23rd, if you recall, the Federal Reserve stated that it would begin buying both U.S. Treasuries and corporate bonds with unlimited funds. And that's what that stopped the meltdown in the stock market that day. Here we are. That's when the announcement, May 23rd. Here we are now, May 5th. They have not bought a single corporate bond. The Fed is lying. Well, kind of. Let me tell you the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. In the 107-year history of the Fed, it is illegal for the Fed to buy corporate bonds, so or any other risky assets. That's the guidelines of the Federal Reserve Act of 1933, expressively. So what the Fed did through legislation, they set up a credit facility with the Treasury called the Corporate Credit Facility, or CCF. There's actually two of these right now. One is for buying investment-grade corporate bonds, and the other is for buying corporate junk bonds. Remember I talked on your program in December and January, I said, sometime next year, towards the end, we're going to have a corporate bond problem. Well, we might not have that now because the Fed is going to buy corporate bonds. They haven't done anything yet, but they're doing it through a slant of a twist of a, some people would call it a loophole in the law, but it's done through the Treasury. The Treasury is actually going to buy it, but the Fed's going to give them the money to do it. And this is all the corporations that are, could not manage their money. They're going to defunct banking crisis, or excuse me, corporate bond crisis, file bankruptcy. But instead, the Fed said, just through an announcement on the 23rd of March, we're going to stop that. And the market turned around. Otherwise, it would have kept going down probably.
Yeah.
So they stopped the market. And now they haven't bought anything, but they're going to, they say. Who knows? My question is, if the Fed has lied about this, what else are they lying about? So, and why are they going against guidelines and manipulating this and buying companies? Because if you're buying a corporate bond, you're in essence indirectly buying the stock, and that is totally against the Fed guidelines. So I know this might sound a far stretch to some financial planners or brokers, but when you tie it all together, at the bottom line, it affects the balance sheet of that corporation. They are influencing that company. And the last time I checked, the Fed was not to bail out companies, but that's what they're doing.
Right. It's just like it's the whole notion that you hear that oftentimes it's used by the left, but then this time it's absolutely accurate, is that the government's picking winners and losers. And they should not be doing that. And but that's what's going on. So you got this whole, Donald Trump's been talking about it for 3.5 years about draining the swamp. And we've talked about corporate money impacting the governments and special interest and this, that, and the other thing. And when you get into a time like this, you see where that's actually true, that they're actually taking care of kind of, I don't know if it's scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I don't know what the motivation is behind it. It obviously seems insidious. I also think it's part of the problem that the whole structure, all the debt, the whole situation in America with our finances as a government and as a nation, being built on the sand as opposed to being built on the rock, which is true around the world. And they just have to keep propping it up. Give me another deck of cards. I got to prop up the deck of cards I already put together, the house of cards I already put together. And it's just a dog chasing its tail. They don't really have a choice. They have to prop it up however they can, because the alternative simply is unfathomable. Or am I being kind of a catastrophist, to steal a phrase from Glenn Beck?
I don't think you're being a catastrophist. I think you're being a realist, and you just described the monetary system. The monetary system is not backed by gold. We didn't have any of these problems when we went through a depression. From a depression, how we got out of it is, they created money, but they had to create money that was backed by gold. So we didn't come out of it with government debt, and we didn't come out of it with a Fed balance sheet that was ballooned. So we didn't have any of those problems back there. But once we went to a fractional reserve banking system, a fiat currency, all the problems have been compounding, and every time we have a recession slash or a depression, it just gets more adjusted, even more severe. And this time, that's why many economists who are not playing the "I want to be on CNBC and look good and talk good about the economy and the stock market." And I'm not saying everybody goes on there says that, because there's a handful of hedge fund managers saying, "You guys don't understand." They were saying this is going to go down, and it did. But there is a group of people saying this is going to be horrendous, because this is at the core of the financial system this time. And six central banks are doing the same thing that the Fed is doing, maybe not buying corporate bonds, but increasing their debt structure, printing money out of thin air. And governments are doing the same thing that our country is doing. And at some point in time, the last I checked, you cannot get out of debt by creating more debt. At some point, it's going to come back to haunt you. And many economists are saying this is the big one. This is really the big one this time.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, people were talking about a recession coming last year. This is all pre-coronavirus. And because the fundamentals, there's what's going on with the stock market. Then there's the fundamentals of the U.S. economy and the fact that we're looking at 30 million added to the unemployment things. When are we going to get the next unemployment numbers, by the way? Because Larry Kudlow recently was like, hey, don't be surprised when it's north of 13%. I mean, when do we actually hear that? When are they going to release the official?
I think we're about 2 weeks away from it, Steve. I don't know the exact date, but I agree with you and agree with Kudlow. In fact, he hasn't said a whole lot about a lot of things, I think, accurately recently, because he was totally wrong about the market, but recently right. But I think his numbers are going to be on the conservative side. We should probably hit somewhere around 17%, maybe as high as that unemployment. And keep in mind, you know, this is approaching depression levels, which is 24.9% was the unemployment rate then.
Which took a couple of years to get to it. And in this case, we're doing it in a couple of months. It's just shocking. Yeah. So eye-opening and heartbreaking. And by the way, everybody, let's remember, this is another one of the aspects of praying for those in authority over us. I mentioned that when I pray on Facebook Live after the show, that we're praying for leadership, not just in government, but in banking and science and medical. We need to pray for leaders across the board because all these problems are way too big for any regular human without the assistance of God. You just don't have that kind of wisdom. Last week you said, we talked about this last week, which is really shocking, they said basically at some point in March, and I can't believe this didn't become a huge issue in the media, but that the feds basically said, okay, banks don't have to have any reserves. So remind us what the reserves are, and then we'll talk about the ramifications of them reversing their position from 2008 when they said, okay, you guys got to have a lot more reserves. But what are reserves for banks? And then let's talk about the implications of the Fed saying, yeah, you don't need those anymore.
It was announced on March 15th of this year and it implemented on the 26th of this year, March. So a reserve is just like when they create a loan, they create a liability for themselves. So if that loan defaults, they got to service the loan. So they got to have cash reserves on hand. What happened in 2008 is there was not enough cash reserves for the assets that they had created either through the derivative market or through loans, and Bear Stearns went under, and next day Lehman Brothers was affected and it almost collapsed. So their stock collapsed and the company collapsed, but they didn't go out of business like Bear Stearns, and then it just dominoed for there. So what has happened as a result of that, the government, let's pass a law called the Dodd-Frank Act, and one of those things was too big to fail. You know, yeah. Banks need to have money to fall back on, reserves, in case there's a downturn in the economy.
Imagine that.
Well, what a concept. You know, yeah. You and I have a checking account, a savings account, you know, a slush fund, call it what you want, all those, just in case something, we need to pay for something, we don't have the money that's not planned for.
Well, hold that thought right there, because we're coming up on the break, David. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. This is Steve Noble on a Full Money Monday. We'll be right back after this. A couple more important things to talk about. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to our friend David Fisher today from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And we were just talking about something that David brought up last week, which happened on March 15th, which remarkably didn't get a lot of press, was the feds all of a sudden saying, okay, by the way, banks don't have to have any reserves. You don't have to have any, like zero. Zero reserves, all the money you're putting out, all the loans, everything else, you don't have to have any reserves. That would be like, I'm going to sell you a house. What do you want? You want a $500,000 house? Okay. You actually don't have to have any collateral, nothing. There's nothing. You don't have to have anything underneath that. You don't have to have any collateral. We're just going to let you do it. Don't worry about it. There's no income requirement. Just knock yourself out. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. But again, we were just talking about this during the break on Facebook Live. I think our country is in a situation now where it just has to continue to bail water and do anything it can possibly do to keep the whole thing afloat, because the alternative is simply unfathomable. So that's why they're willing. $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion, $4 trillion, $5 trillion, whatever it takes. And now you got people, members of Congress. Well, I think we should give people $2,000 a month for the next 6 months. And given the fact what you said, that 94% of these quote unquote small business loans are actually going to businesses with over 100 employees, which make up about 2% of all the businesses in the country. The overwhelming majority of businesses in America are small businesses, less than 100 people. But most of those are not getting those loans. The money's going to the big businesses again, which sounds like a Democrat talking point, but that's exactly what's going on. And it's unconscionable. I don't know. We'll see what Congress has to say about it. I would like to see Donald Trump step up to the plate and say, hold on a second. What's going on here? And take up for all these little businesses out there that just aren't getting it. But the fact that the Fed sit there and would say to the banks, you don't have to have any reserves, it's just mind boggling.
You know, within a day after that was announced by the Fed, banks not having any money on account. Think about that. That's the very reason why one of a couple reasons why they created the Dodd-Frank Act, to make sure banks won't get into trouble again.
Right.
They have to have reserves on account. Now they took away all that insurance, which is called reserves. But a day after that, the FDIC chairman, Julene McWilliams, came out and did a video plea to keep your money in the bank. So obviously, the head of the FDIC, the chairman, was concerned so much that they wanted to make sure people would not hear about this message that the Fed announced, and they wouldn't run to the bank and get all their money out of the bank. So let's connect the dots. Obviously, if the bank doesn't have any money to fall back on, corporations don't have any money. Otherwise, why are the Fed buying them? There must be a limited money to fall back on. And we know the government can't fall back on money because look at their debt structure. This is all the setup for the bail-in. This is where this is going. And like I said before, Steve, I said this 2 weeks ago, I'm even more so passionate this time. I've never seen us this close to a bail-in. This tells us there's not a lot of money out there behind all this. And how do you get your money safe? Well, I've shared with you every single time we've been in a recession, gold is the asset. You want to have some representation. I never said put all your money into gold. You wouldn't have all your money in cash in the bank. You wouldn't have all your money in stocks. Certainly shouldn't put all your money in gold. But I can say this. If we head towards another 2008, and I don't think we're out of the woods at all, because the unemployment numbers are going to cause the market to maybe connect more with Main Street, not differentiate between Wall Street, because corporations go up and stocks go up in value when they make money. If the consumer's not buying anymore, it's going up on perception, and then you're buying an overvalued stock. So the bail-in, we've never been this close to us ever, Steve, except for maybe the day after the collapse happened in 2008, but we didn't have bail-in laws back then.
Yeah.
So we have it now, and this is why I advocate, get some money outside of the system in a tangible. Call it gold. Why are we going to be in a bull market for probably 10 years? They last 9 to 12. We started a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a money-making scheme for the most part, although it's done that at different times. But the index of gold has performed phenomenal, and different gold markets perform at different levels. But the key thing is, this is why you get educated. You work with somebody that's going to give you your choices, which is what we do here at Landmark Capital. And people are smart enough to make their own choice, what they want to invest in, if they want to invest in gold. But we're headed towards some problems, and it makes sense to have some money in gold right now.
Yeah, just to kind of get it out of the storm of everything, because right now, that's a lot of stockbrokers, they don't want to deal with cash. They don't want you in cash or gold because they're not making any money on that. Of course, they have a right to make money as well. But you have to understand who's advocating for what when it comes to the management of your money and your retirement accounts. And you have to, how do people make money? You always need to ask those kinds of questions. And then again, when you've got a certain amount in stocks and then you've got mutual funds, you've got things in your home, you got real estate, and then cash, and then precious metals is another part of that, where you just, okay, I got to manage all these different factors here, so I don't want to have everything exposed all at the same time. And when the market's going in a great direction, that's wonderful. We love that. But when it's correcting, when it's going down, when we run into uncertain times like this, this is where, okay, what's the ballast? What's underneath the sailboat? When I got my sails up here, what's underneath the sailboat, kind of keeping it from completely rolling over? And again, this isn't about, hey, I'm going to buy gold and then sell it in a couple of months because it's going up right now, especially when you're talking about gold coins and holding on to gold physically. That's a different tool than what people are talking about, like buying and selling stocks on a whim, like day trading and stuff like that. But it's a very different thing. But it takes a while to get educated on it, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, and we believe in education. You know, I go over a thing called three columns, and I say a statement that most people will learn and know more than 95% of the people that either bought gold or wanting to buy gold after, you know, having this interactive conversation. And, you know, I've been told many times that I was right in that statement. And so then they felt very comfortable about what product is best for them, and they choose. But, you know, when you look at this in 2008, Steve, Fitch, the rating agency, warned of record loan defaults. And we had record loan defaults in 2008.
Yeah.
Fitch just warned again of record loan defaults, so much that JP Morgan stopped creating loans. They stopped their issuance of loans. So did, it's either Citigroup or Citi stopped issuing loans. So that should tell us something is up in the loan department.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that somewhere else recently where they're just like, okay, we're not doing loans right now. I don't remember where that was, but I heard that, and I'm just go, wow, I don't recall ever hearing that when all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, we're just, oh, you know what it was? It was Wells Fargo saying we're not doing any new home equity loans. Yeah. We're not doing any home equity lines, no new ones. Because HELOCs. Of the uncertainty.
Yep. So a lot of the HELOC industry home equity loans are not being issued right now because that's a second on a home and it creates a challenge of that loan being repaid. So this is, we're headed towards the direction of we're going to have loan defaults and there's no cash on banks to shore up what will happen after that. And that's why I'm saying the bail-in is here on the, we're on the cusp of it, the threshold of it. And that's why, you know, the bail-in is something that's happened 9 times over 9 years ago. And it's something real that we set up in our country. We have a white paper on it. We encourage you to call our company or go online and request that so you can get some education, because education is knowledge and people perish for lack of knowledge or wisdom.
That's right. And then on the, I know you have a YouTube channel now. Do you have some of this information on the YouTube channel?
You know, either today or tomorrow, I'm going to record we've been working from home, so we haven't been recording anything.
Yep.
But we're back in the office now. First day back in the office from being, you know, safe from the coronavirus and the COVID-19. But I'm going to record. I have a two-part series. I'm going to record either today or tomorrow, probably tomorrow, on the bail-in. So it should be up the latter part of this week, early part of next week after we do the editing on it.
All right, good. Yeah, so if you just go to YouTube and you put in Landmark Capital in the search box, you'll find it there. And then the white papers, the general information, all that kind of stuff is available at the website, landmarkgold.com. Or people could just call in if they want to do something old-fashioned, be a little nostalgic. What's the phone number that they would call?
They can call 844-879-8882.
All right, 844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com. And I just want to remind everybody, and on Facebook Live, we always pray at the end of the show. But in this case, David, we've got about 2 minutes left before we run out of time. I wanted to, let's just pray on live radio, just pray across all the platforms for our leaders and for our nation, because we need to be on the front edge of that as people that speak out publicly. That we can complain about the government, we can talk about what we can do in the natural and where we should put our money, but ultimately, if we're not praying, we're not operating with any power at all. So would you just, we have about a minute and a half left, would you just lead us in prayer and we'll finish the show that way today? That would be great.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humility, and we thank you for your grace and your shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, Lord. And we ask you to come and heal our land. Lord, we turn, as the scripture says, we turn from our wicked ways and we repent and we say, Lord, be Lord of all. God, give our president wisdom and knowledge beyond comprehension. We speak life into our country. We pray that you would bring about a miracle, Lord, a financial miracle, and help us get our house in order. Give us a master plan. Help the Federal Reserve. Help the Treasury. Help our president, our leaders, so that we would not go down this road of debt and it would strangle us into oblivion. Lord, so we pray that you would give us insight personally, that we would heal our own personal land and our country's land, that we would truly be one nation under God. And Lord, we give you the praise and the thanks and the outcome And we thank you, Lord, for your salvation for our lives. All in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, pal. I appreciate that. I'm going to let you go. Really appreciated your time today, and thanks for helping us understand it. I mean, I wish there were some nicer things we had to talk about, but this is what's happening, and we need to keep discussing it. David Fisher from Landmark Capital, thank you. God bless you, friend. I appreciate that. Thanks for praying with us today.
God bless you, and God bless our country.
All right, pal, thanks. We'll talk real soon. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com, or their phone number, 844-879-8882. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.